Chief AI Officer. What is that? 2026 EU compliance secrets. I'm here to talk with Nicholas Babin about this. And he's an EU digital ambassador, and he's an expert in AI and digital transformation technologies. And yeah, this is a huge, huge kind of topic. We're going to break it down quite simply. So I'm going to just start really with what do chief AI officers actually do, and what are they going to do in 2026?
Yes, thank you, Nat. It's great to be on the show again. To me, there's so much the Chief AI Officer has on its plate, if I can say. The first one obviously has to set the AI vision and strategy for his or her whole organization, depending, ensuring alignment with the business goals, the competitive advantage, the innovation pathways, all this. Then there's an overseeing of AI deployment, ensuring that all the right technologies, all the different models like machine learning models, generative AI models, automations are selected, and also used across different types of products, services, and internal process. Then I would add, he or her needs to ensure that infrastructure, data, and platforms are ready. For obviously the IT team, the data science, the engineering, and operations. Governance is also something extremely important, especially if you do business in Europe or if you are European. And we'll talk about AI Act, obviously, but anything around governance, ethics, regulatory compliances, that's it needs to be led by the chief AI officer. I would push it even to say that in terms of talent and culture, recruiting, developing, leading AI teams, that will be he, I mean, it's responsibility for the chief AI officer, whether he or she. And also the last one, I will talk about metrics. To me, the chief AI officer will need to ensure that all the initiatives deliver measurable business values, and manage all the changes that are required in order to make AI not a simple project, but really a business transformation tool. That's how I would describe the chief AI officer.
Wow. Well, it's quite a complex role, really, in bigger organizations in particular, because you've got all sorts of stakeholders that really see you as a bit of a threat in terms of, I mean, certainly you've got compliance officers, you've got chief information security officers,
HR, I mean, a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah, there are so many different moving parts. It's actually quite a serious role, this. And it's quite an exciting, very well-paid job, actually, that one. And something that, I think if I was kind of studying again, that is something that I would look at doing myself. Because it's a game changer for businesses.
No,
Get it
it
right.
is. There's some key elements that are really crucial, and I've seen that with a lot of reports I've read, and also companies I've helped. There's some key elements that really need to be taken very seriously. For example, number one, the reporting lines. I have seen some CEOs saying, "Oh yeah, we need a chief AI officer. It's great for trends and it's great for the press." Well, actually, it's more than the press here, and they need to think seriously about reporting line. To me, this role needs to report to the CEO the same way a COO will report to the CEO or the CTO will report to the CEO. That's as important, because if it's not reporting directly to the CEOs, I have seen and I've read about the fact that the role that risks to being siloed, and so that's one point. Then the mandate also needs to be very clear with authority around budget, headcount, project prioritization, access to board, extremely important that. I would add the leadership structure also, because he or she will need to work very closely with all the C-suite people in the company. So they need to have clear boundaries, and collaborations are very needed, because as you rightfully said, it's about compliance, about HR. It's about technology. It's about strategy. It's about a lot of things. So that's very important. I mentioned earlier about the KPI and the work that needs to be done in order to ensure that at least all the AI work done is clearly defined, and they should these chief AI officers should define what AI success looks like in terms of percentage of revenue, in terms of cost savings, speed to market, compliance metrics, ethics, bias, incident rate, all this. There's also a huge culture and change management that is extremely important, because to me, he's in charge of the digital transformation of the company, he or she, again, I'm sorry if I say he, I mean he or she, obviously, all the time.
It's okay.
And finally, if your strategy is based on how to implement AI products or AI mindset within, then you definitely need a chief AI officer.
Yeah, it's a real minefield, and it can cause a lot of problems and frictions, I imagine, in between all sorts of different departments, because there are people that are screaming out for new technologies as well, and actually they're not allowed to use them because the cybersecurity division has said, sorry, you can't use this, it's a risk. So it's a very, very complex role, isn't it? So that, you know, people, because it's like, if you don't work out who needs what and how quickly they're going to need it, right?
Yeah.
Then people are risking all the data in that business as well. And this is the most crazy thing, is they're actually damaging potentially the reputation of that business by using outside language models that are, and other tools that are not sanctioned by the business. And so that chief AI officer has to rank all of the items on their wish list to then discuss with the chief information security officer and the CIO and other stakeholders in order to push them through, right? And these things can take too long. They can take a very, very long time, especially with all these new regulations that are kind of happening. And I know you're very clued up in the frameworks and requirements that are necessary. And onto EU compliance, the chief AI officer's primary responsibility, would you say that is their primary responsibility, or
it's one of them? But it's like the AI Act for me needs to be the strategic mandate for the chief AI officer, if I could say it, because you know, we talked about all the other responsibilities. Compliance is definitely one of them, and it's, let's put it this way, without compliance and without considering the AI Act as a strategic mandate, then there's no space for a chief AI officer. So yes, it's probably one of the most important one, but considering that the others are also important, I don't know if I make sense here.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's a risk reward thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
like... exactly. And the AI Act needs to be a framework that will define how AI must be designed, deployed, and monitored within the European market. So that means they're pretty much, if I thinking out loud here, you have three dimensions of what I just said. The first one is the regulatory understanding, obviously knowing the classification of AI systems. Remember, I mentioned many times there are four risks in the AI Act: unacceptable risk, high risk, limited risk, and minimal risk. So this needs to be understood, because that's how the AI Act functions. And understanding how this will affect the company's AI portfolio. For example, let's say you work for a company that has an unacceptable risk AI use, then you know your business is doomed, right? If it's a minimal risk, you need to add just a sentence.
Can you give me an example? Sorry to interrupt.
Take pictures or videos of people, and with AI being able to recognize those people, is the fact that anything that's around data manipulation, the manipulation of behavior is totally, totally forbidden by Europe. It's really unacceptable, because it's like deep fake.
But isn't that what marketing does? Or are you talking about Outside of marketing.
Outside of marketing. Yeah, nice try. No. What I mean is like really like manipulating in a bad way, you know, like so.
Uh-huh.
So you do something that really you had not planned on doing, or you know is bad, but you think, well, nobody's going to see me doing it and everything, but AI would be around and would manipulate the data around that. I think the best example is deepfake, right? When deepfake was just launched, everybody was doing things for fun around your boss, around your partner, around friends, or, you know, making them say anything that bad, pretty much. And that's what I mean by manipulation, right? So I was talking about three dimensions. The first one was the regulatory understanding, so meaning understanding the full risk that's the basis of the AI Act. The second one is the implementation leadership, for me, where you need to ensure that compliance is embedded within your products by design. So which means that the chief AI officer needs to be involved from very early on when the product is starting to be thought through by designers, because you cannot add the compliance as an afterthought. It needs to be done like way ahead of the game. And the third dimension is about strategic alignment, which means you need to turn compliance into a differentiator. And that's, I just had a very large conference at Lloyd's of London at the end of September. And that's exactly what I told the people I was talking to. And it was the old library at Lloyd's was full. And it was really interesting because and people came back to me after and said, you know, turning compliance into a differentiator and making sure that trust, transparency, and ethics becomes a competitive advantage is like something that we never thought of.
You know, it's like a competitive advantage. Massive advantage.
Exactly, because you can say, look, I'm the first one to comply with the AI Act. I'm the first one to comply with the GDPR. You know, it's all these things that actually makes you different than your competitor, and that's what you're looking for. So if you use the AI Act as a strategic mandate and you have those three dimensions covered, you are coming out as a much stronger company. So the alignment compared to your competitors is like you're way above them. Mm-hmm. You're coming out as products that are embedded with the AI Act, if I can say, and you're coming out with the fact that actually you are a trusted company because you understand the regulatory angle much more than anybody else. So, you know, the chief AI officer will be invited to talk to at conferences. It'll become a voice of authority. And that, to me, is essential. So really today, at least if you do business in Europe, even if you're based in China or you're based in the US, you need to have a chief AI officer who understands what needs to be done for the AI Act. And it's essential. I wouldn't say it's the most important point, but it's definitely in the top two of the points that needs to be taken care of when you recruit one.
Right. It makes sense because the
compliance. Make sense? Yeah, sorry.
It makes sense, Nicholas. It's just we talk about a lot of stuff and it's actually more complex than people think. And because you've got the GDPR as well as the EU AI Act, and then you've got these other things, if you're working towards other certifications as well, then actually you need entire teams of people who are going to, you know, basically cross boxes and tick boxes, and it's a very administrative, detail orientated role, in my personal opinion. The chief AI officer, and they're the people that need to keep an eye on this. So then there's a whole insurance thing, a whole legal compliance piece which we need to think about. But in terms of landing a CAO, it doesn't matter.
That's how I say it,
CAO, in terms of landing one of these roles before the 2026 deadline, What do you think? Is that easy for people to do? What sort of job are you going to come from? And then, you know, how are you going to land one of these roles? I mean, you know, we've already sort of nailed it, really. I mean, you need to be very detail orientated. You need to know about AI. Do you think you need to be a programmer necessarily or not?
It would help. It would help to have done that at least in your past, because then you would understand how a product is designed, right? So you would understand all the where to embed your product. Is it back office? Is it front office? Is it what type of development would be required? So when you're in front of a customer or you're at board level and they say, how long would it take that? You have a good understanding of the development process. So it would definitely help to be a programmer. To me, I see this role as a very senior role, one of the most senior role in the company. And I see this as a role for somebody who has at least, 20, 25 plus years of experience, because the person needs to have a very broad understanding of how a company is run, how the board impacts, obviously, decisions regarding budget, regarding product development, regarding all these. And he needs somebody that is going to be very smart in the sense of diplomacy. Because as I mentioned, when we first started to talk about it, this role goes across so many different roles. You cannot have somebody like a CSO, chief sales officer, for example, coming in and taking that role. Because the person, yes, he will probably be good trying to negotiate, but you need somebody who's actually going to be genuinely interested in the outcome for the company. And it's a role where there's no space for I. There's only space for we.
Right.
The chief AI officer role is really somebody who potentially could be a CEO, definitely, but the CEO, it's his responsibility, his or her responsibility to say, this is the direction we're taking. And frankly, I've taken all your advice, all your points, and we're going this way. Here, you're more in the role of like trying to negotiate and discuss with everyone. You need to be very open-minded to be a chief AI officer. It's definitely a role that's going to embark everyone in order to develop your own vision. So you have your own, the person has his own vision, and he needs to bring everybody on board with the person. So for example, if you have to deal with technical issues, the chief technical officer cannot take offense of that, right? And so it's very transparent. It's like the AI Act is about transparency and trust. That's exactly how it is. So the chief technical officer cannot think that, oh, well, look, I have this chief AI officer and he wants to take my job. Then you know it's not going to work. So the way it works, and what I've seen, and what I've working with Japanese who are also a very different culture, I've seen it many, many times. The best way of getting your plan approved and your plan successful is to bring everybody on board and to be very upfront and transparent. So, for example, you need to decide on a technology for the AI products. You don't decide alone. Before even making a decision, you go and talk to the chief technical officer saying, what do you think? This is what I think. What do you think? You are responsible for the technical angle of the whole company. You have your own vision where you want to take this company. Do you think what I think would be good for the AI products could fit within your vision, right? And when you present it to the board, you say, oh, we've discussed it, the CTO and I, and this is what we believe in, right? So you always give credit to the people who needs to have credit for the situation. And and you do it so early on that basically it's a decision that's made with several people. But actually, the catalyst of all this is really the chief AI officer, but he cannot do anything alone. Am I being clear on this one?
yeah, 100%. So really, it's I mean, mindset is one of the things
yeah.
that you need. Some ideally some past programming experience so you can understand things. Exactly. I think a bit of network architecture experience would probably yes. also be good.
Database experience, definitely.
Yeah, database, yeah. But also understanding people and being a real people person, being a good listener would yeah. actually, that and attitude and willingness to learn are probably some of the best qualities, I yeah. think. Is there anything that we've missed from that list, do you think, Nicholas?
Management experience, but you kind of said it with somebody who knows how to listen. It's you're yeah. looking for a leader, not a manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like a door opener rather than yeah. Somebody who's going to be behind you every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And you need to build. I mean, really, again, I'm going back to the same point, and it's all about AI as well. It's only trust. You need to have mm-hmm. trust in your data, trust in your people, trust in your processes, trust in your algorithm, trust in the compliance element, trust everywhere. This yeah. is really, to me, the chief AI officer is the trust officer.
Wow. So are there any roles that you think would lend well to moving across? I mean, obviously, you've got the chief data officer, chief digital officer, you know, chief information security officer, perhaps.
COO.
Chief operations.
Operating officer.
Chief information officer as well.
Chief information officer could also yeah. be no cost, absolutely, yep.
Yeah. Any others that you can think of? I mean, I think people have got multiple levels of experience when they've been in business for 20, 25 years. They might have started out as a programmer. But out of all of that list, do you think chief information security officers are probably less likely or yeah. as likely? You think as they're all likely. The same, therefore, just yeah, as likely?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Again, it needs to be, and you said it very rightfully, it's a mindset job. So right. the right person with the features, if I could say, or the right mindset, who says I want to be a chief AI officer and I'm prepared to give up my own ego for the companies, right. that person could do it. Even if, I mean, I would push it to see even an HR officer.
I was thinking that because they've got the best listening. The best listening and questioning abilities.
That's
right?
it. But and they need to have some technical background. So not mm-hmm. all HR officers have technical background. So that's why,
right.
you know, I said maybe to me, a CEO with technical background, the chief information officer with obviously has technical background, the CDO, chief data officer has technical background. But all these people, you know, I've met CDOs, CTOs, CIOs that are they're very good in their jobs, very good with the technology, and really terrible at listening because they are, you know, in their own world.
Right.
So right. that these right. people cannot. So it really, I don't think we can think through saying, well, could a CIO move through? Yeah, I think it needs to be the right person with the right mindset. That's the only thing. Yeah. Anybody could do the job as long as they have technical background, as long as they have management background, as long as they have product visibility, vision background, you know, all these, that's what would make them successful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I think that's fantastic. That really hopefully will help someone to understand what they need to be working on, because you might be listening to this and thinking, well, hold on a minute, I'm not really very happy in my career. I want to change. And actually, you could position yourself in the next 5 years, you could position yourself as a chief information, chief AI officer, if you wanted to, because, you know, but it's all about leadership skills. It's about the soft skills. And those are becoming even more and more important these days. And yeah. we dig into a lot of those at Monday Influencer. But Nicholas, it's always a pleasure. Really appreciate your time. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
If you value the insights on influential visions, you'll be pleased to know that that is just the public version. Inside Monday Influencer, the indispensable weekly guide to success in business, career, life, you get a weekly email which also has an audio version narrated personally by us. You get early access to uncut interviews, behind the scenes footage and intel. You get critical insights, unlocking AI and technology for your success. You can download cheat sheets, checklists, and many, many audios, which will help you to become a better executive and a business person. Your risk is $1. Join us. The link is in the description. Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions.